Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Holy Gospel for tonight found in Mark chapter 6. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter, gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is God's word. Can you imagine what the job description would be for a prophet? Probably weren't people lining up around the block to be one of those guys. Wanted, motivated individuals to speak forth the word of God, no matter the consequences. Job will involve lots of travel by foot and necessary dietary restrictions. Applicants should be adventure-seeking individuals. Another way of saying this job is really dangerous. Being a prophet meant that your life could very well end in death. Well, every life ends in death, but not every life ends in death because of your occupation. That was certainly the case with a prophet. In fact, Jesus, in his woes that he spoke against Jerusalem, called Jerusalem the city that stones the prophets and puts them to death. That was certainly what happened to John the Baptist, though he wasn't fortunate enough to be stoned. Now see, there was shame in having your head cut off. It was a mutilation of your body. At least if you were stoned to death, you were kind of, sort of, still in one piece. Being beheaded, while it might seem quick and clean, there's a bit of shame in that as well. Nonetheless, that's what end met John the Baptist, whose death we commemorate on August 29th. And for our purposes, we're doing it tonight. John was, on the one hand, a prophet. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. Basically, he's kind of an Old Testament figure. He's described as wearing camel's skin for his clothing. He eats locusts as he lives out in the wilderness. Very much like those Old Testament prophet guys. But he's also, on the other hand, a martyr. One of the earliest martyrs of the New Testament. The holy innocents were the first, the children who were slain by Herod the Great, predecessor of Herod Antipas. St. Stephen, later in Acts 8, he would be stoned for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in between John the Baptist, what did being a prophet get him? A prison cell and an axe blade to his neck. It's not easy to be a prophet, not easy to bear God's word and speak it to a world that very often does not want to hear it. Let's be honest, we live in a world as well today where we have God's word. There are sure a lot of people who don't want to hear what it says. They'll either explain it away, they'll call you a bigot for believing those old ways of biblical teaching. They might even threaten you depending on where you are. Are we prophets under threat of death like John the Baptist, like the prophets before him? Well, there's two ways to look at the term prophet. There's the narrow sense in which one is a prophet. You're given a word directly from God where he says to you individually, here, go deliver this message. Like he gave to Jonah, go to Nineveh, tell them to repent. Jonah tried to resist that call to go there. Could only do it for so long before he had to go. That's the narrow sense in which a person is a prophet, where God individually calls them to go and deliver a message. But there's also a wider sense of the term prophet. Because I mean, you all, and me as well, we've been given a message from God to deliver. A law that calls people to repentance, a gospel that says Christ has died for the sins of the world. God wants everyone to hear that. He uses my mouth and your mouths to share that word. So, yes, in a sense, we are prophets. So does a martyr's death await us? You know, the word martyr in the New Testament is the same word from which we get the word witness. To be a martyr is to be a witness, one who speaks of what they've seen, who speaks the message they have been given. Again, there's a narrow sense and a wide sense that we're not witnesses in the sense that, say, John the Baptist was a witness. He knew Jesus face to face, met him, baptized him in the Jordan River. We're not witnesses like Peter and James and John and Matthew and the 12 disciples who knew Jesus and followed him in his ministry. We're not witnesses like St. Paul, to whom Jesus appeared personally on the road to Damascus. But we are witnesses in a wider sense, with a message to share. And that effectively makes us martyrs. We're martyrs, like John the Baptist. Whether being a martyr means we'll die at the hands of people who refuse to hear the message we speak, we don't know. But being a follower of Jesus Christ, a witness, a martyr, a prophet, in a sense, does mean something similar for us as it meant for John the Baptist and all the other prophets. Jesus himself said, just a couple chapters later in Mark 8, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Being a follower of Jesus Christ, a witness of his word, one who speaks the message God has given us, means carrying a cross. It means that the life of a prophet ends in death. As it did for John, so it will be for you, and so it will be for me. There's probably a strong likelihood that for none of us, our end will come at the blade of an axe with our head on a platter. It could come in the ways we're accustomed to people meeting the end of life. Disease, age, infirmity of some kind. Nothing extraordinary by our standards. But following Jesus Christ, being one of his disciples, being, in a sense, a prophet who carries his word, means no magic remedy for the problems of this world. It does not mean an easy life. It does not mean that everything is perfect. Prophets die. That's always been the case. The case for John the Baptist and the case for you and me. Because however that end comes, that same end comes for all of us. John the Baptist was a prophet who met his end. You and I are a type of prophet who will meet our end. There's another prophet in our text who's only mentioned at the very beginning. That makes this section of Mark a little bit odd, because Mark, more so than the other Gospels, is so keenly focused on Jesus. You almost forget that this whole text started with people wondering if Jesus was John the Baptist raised from the dead. Was he Elijah? Was he one of the other prophets? They knew he was something out of the ordinary, extraordinary. You see, John the Baptist was a prophet. You and I are a type of prophet, but Jesus is the prophet. The prophet above all prophets. For he also carries a word from God, but more than that, he is the Word of God, the Word in human flesh. He's the Word with skin and bones and blood. He's the Word, that walks and talks among the people of God. He's the Word that gives the answer in the face of a prophet's death. Because you see, it's through the greatest prophet, Jesus Christ, that John the Baptist had hope, all the prophets of the Old Testament have hope, and that you and I have hope. Because he is the prophet who rises from the dead. The only prophet who can do so. Herod Antipas, the king of Galilee in our text today, is stunningly close to getting it right. The news gets to Herod of this Jesus who's causing a bit of a stir in the land of Judea. It says in our text that Jesus' name had become known. Some said, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said, he is Elijah. And others said, he is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. Not quite, Herod, but you're very, very close. John had not been raised, not yet. But the one whom the people were gathering to see, the one who was teaching and performing miracles throughout Judea, was a prophet who would die and take up his life again. A prophet who would die and rise again to life. A prophet who would die and bring life to every single prophet that succumbs to death. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, you are a bit of a prophet, not quite the same as John the Baptist, but one with the Word of God nonetheless. The fate that John the Baptist met is the fate that awaits you and awaits me as well. This life ends in death. But thanks be to God that the prophet above all prophets, Christ our Lord, Son of God, Word made flesh, is the prophet who overcomes the grave and overcomes it for you and for me. When it boils down to it, being a prophet is a pretty good gig. To be given the Word of God, to speak that word, knowing that the consequences may be grave, the consequences may be deadly. You know, now is not the time for us as the church, for us as those to whom the Word of God has been given, now is not the moment for us to be silent. It's the time to speak. Because when that word is delivered, Jesus is delivered. And whatever circumstance it may happen, yes, the prophet's life ends in death. But death is followed by the victory of resurrection. Because Jesus Christ, the prophet, who is also a priest, and who is also a king, he lives. Because he lives, John will live. Body made perfect, head rejoined to his body, made whole, made new. So will you. You will be made new as well. You will be made perfect. Because Jesus is perfect. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.